on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And deliver us from evil. That's in that prayer for a very specific reason. Today, as we gather on the second Sunday of Christmas, the story of Epiphany has already taken place. And if you'd like to hear that, that's tonight at 4 o'clock at our Redeemer in Rapid City as we gather for Epiphany. But the wise men have now gone back to their own country by a different way. And we're left with the reality of evil in the gospel reading. Jesus taught us this prayer that we just prayed for a very specific reason. That prayer, the Lord's Prayer, as he gave us, is a model for our life. And as we take apart different parts of that prayer, we can see how it fits into all of those pieces. But the seventh petition, but deliver us from evil, is a reality every day in our world. Luther writes this, God tempts no one. We pray in this petition that God would guard and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our sinful nature may not deceive us or mislead us into false belief, despair, or other great shame or vice. Although we are attacked by these things, we pray that we may fully overcome them and win the victory. You see, Luther knew the reality of evil in our world as well, even though we are attacked by these things. This petition clearly addresses the fact that there is evil in our world. That's not new. You know that. You've experienced that. And if you haven't, you will, unfortunately. This evil that Luther writes about in the conclusion of the commandment or of the Lord's Prayer is not the Flip Wilson, the devil made me do it evil that we laugh at and we dismiss as nothing really, no big deal. This is the full force of raw evil that destroys and kills and does anything it can to separate us from Christ and the promises that he gives to us. When you see that, when you're caught in that, it's the kind of thing that takes your breath away. The kind of thing that you have no idea if you can survive. But we can, with the promises of Christ. Dr. Luther was very wise when he wrote the What Does This Mean for That. He picked up on those exact places where evil attacks us. He says, we pray in this petition that God would guard and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our sinful nature may not deceive us or mislead us into any false belief, despair, or other great shame and vice. Did you hear that? Our, or you could say my, sinful nature. You see, the devil's really good at knowing what buttons to push for you. And it's different for all of us. He knows exactly what tempts you. He knows how to so subtly put that temptation before you. And because of our sin, because of our sinful nature, we are so susceptible to some of those temptations that a thought or a smell or a color or a memory can trigger us into a downward spiral of falling into this temptation that he has laid before us. Luther wrote this. He said, the sins of our youth are lust, and the sins of old age are greed. And he says, I'm caught right in the middle, so I struggle with both. You see, he knew. He knew his sinful nature. He knows our sinful nature. He knows the things of this world that we are susceptible to falling into. And as we hear that, there is a remedy for this. It isn't just we're going to fall into sin, so give up. We're very aware of what our Lord has given to us in tools. That's why we started with the Lord's Prayer. Every day, pray that prayer that our Lord gives to us, that we would not fall into these temptations. The psalmist writes this, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will glorify me." Praying to our Father is not something we do as an afterthought when nothing else has worked. Praying to our Father is putting on the armor of God, asking for his protection for the temptations that lie ahead of you this day, that if they had their way, would pull you from Christ. Pray the Lord's Prayer every morning before you leave the house. In fact, the first thing when you open your eyes, pray that prayer asking our Lord to protect you and to guide you. That petition, deliver us from evil, is there because we need to be delivered, each and every one of us, from the temptations that lie in front of us. We will be tempted. You will be tempted. Pray to our Father, confess your brokenness, and know that God will act. He will protect. He will strengthen. He will separate you at times from the temptations that the evil one has laid out for you. It isn't just the temptations alone that we struggle with for ourselves. It isn't our own temptations we have to be on guard against completely. There is the reality that others will tempt us, that God will use other people in the world to cause us to fall into sin. There is this wonderful story in Genesis 39 of an upright man who struggled a little because things just weren't working his way. It wasn't that he was falling into sin. It's that Joseph was a godly and an upright man. And he'd been put in prison. He had been sold as a slave to Potiphar, who took him back to be his manager, if you will. Potiphar ran everything, all of the affairs of his master's household, all of the affairs of his estate. His master trusted him completely and left him with everything, and he had no worries because he knew Joseph would do a good job. Joseph ran it all very well. Joseph was a godly man. But in the midst of Potiphar's house is Potiphar's wife, and she saw Joseph, and he was fine, as the scriptures say. He was upright, and he was nice looking, and she lusted after him, and she tried to convince him over and over again to lay with her, and he resisted. And then that one day, when he's in the house alone with her, she grabs his cloak and pulls him and wants him to come to bed with her, and he runs out of the house, leaving his clothes, all of them, behind. Running from the evil that would pull him into adultery and sully and break his reputation, Joseph ran away. That's not bad. In our world today, we think of that, we hear the word coward. He ran away. He should have stayed. He should have defended himself. But Joseph trusted in God so much, he knew that God would defend him against the evil that would come. Read the rest of the story. It does not turn out as well, as quickly as we'd hope. But God continued to be with Joseph, restoring him again. When we are confronted with evil, sometimes the best thing to do is simply run. Get away from it, away from the temptation, away from the people that are toxic to us, away from the work environments that would completely destroy us and pull us into this evil that is always around us. Evil always seeks to destroy. It does not care who or what it takes with it. It will continue to pull and destroy you, not really caring about you, but wanting to destroy anything that God loves. And that's you and anything you care about. Running away from evil is not cowardice. It is trusting completely in the promises of God that he will protect, that he will keep his word, that he will uphold you in the midst of all of this evil in our world. In the gospel reading for today, we find the most helpless, hopeless kind of evil that there is. It's a situation where we have absolutely no control of. It's a situation when the evil of the world simply engrosses us, encompasses us, and we are completely caught up in it and can do nothing about it. The wise men have come and they have visited. They stop to see the king, Herod, to find out where this great king is, because they have seen his star and they've been following that star possibly for 2 years to see this king. They check in with the local authority thinking, surely he will know. Herod didn't know. But now he does. He knows there's a king in his kingdom other than him. If you know anything about Herod, he was a jealous man, a revengeful man. He told the wise men, go and worship him, and when you find him, come back and tell me so that I might worship him as well. He was a liar. He in no way intended to worship the new king. He intended to kill him. When he realized that he was tricked, when he realized that the wise men went a different way, he was furious. And he gave the order to kill all the boys in the land, in the city of Jerusalem, in Bethlehem and in the surrounding areas that were 2 years old and under. It's called the slaughter of the innocents. The gospel reading today reminds us of the first Christian martyrs that were under 2 years old. These babies and their families, absolutely caught in an evil that they could do nothing about, caught in the midst of this, wondering what was going on, in the worst grief of their life. That reality happens to us as well. Caught up in things that we had no control of and that completely decimate our lives. You've been working for that company for your whole life. You have invested everything. You are a good employee. You've been putting away in your health care. You have been putting away in your retirement and your pension. And you come to work someday and the door is locked and chained. And you figure out that even though you were a good employee, the leadership was not. And the company is broke, and everything is gone. No job, no retirement, no hope, no promise. What's next? The reality of evil in our world. If you walk back there across from my office, there's a bulletin board there, and it has a number in green that I hate to look at. Look at it when you walk into the kitchen. It's the number of babies that have been killed in America since 1973. The reality of evil, killing babies that God has created and put into our world. It is a reality that surrounds us, and we can feel hopeless and helpless as we have been, especially in these situations where it seems we have no control of anything. Sometimes when we're caught up in that evil, the things that we can do nothing about, our mind swirls and we try to find the answer for the why question. And all it does is leave us with more questions. Sometimes we look for someone to blame. Sometimes we become the martyr. Sometimes we pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and are going to march through this without any help from anyone, thinking that we can do that. None are the best options. When the reality of evil comes, the best thing that we can do is rest in the peace that God gives to us. Rest in His promise, even though you are in the midst of this and have no control and the world seems to be spinning out of control, it does not mean that Christ is not there. And it does not mean that Christ's promises to you are now null and void. In the midst of our suffering, when we are completely weak, He is the strongest. In the midst of our brokenness, where we have nothing to hold on to and it looks like no hope, Christ is there asking us, encouraging us to pray and to rest in His promises for you. This child Christ that was born into our world is our Savior and our Lord, and His promises to you are true. On the best day of your life and on the day when the world seems to have pulled the rug out from under you, you are Christ's. You are forgiven by His death on the cross. He promises to be with you every day, good, bad, or otherwise. He promises to continue and protect you even when you don't see the protection. And even if this evil in our world should take your life, it does not change the promises of holy baptism, connecting you to the cross, making you a child of God. If the evil in this world should take your life, you will open your eyes and see your Savior. That's our hope and our promise in the midst and in the reality of evil in the world. Now, I don't say this to scare you. I don't want you to look around every corner for the evil that will certainly be there someday. We know it's here. But we live in a world with a victor. We live in a world where one has come, our Savior, born into our world, who has died on the cross and risen for you and is the victor over sin and death and promises to be with you even when the evil one assails you. That's our hope. Evil is a part of our world. We can't change that. But Christ did not leave us alone in an evil world. He came as the victor. He came as your Savior, your friend, your Lord. He came as your Savior. And He will do that. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now the peace that passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.